Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Town. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
The last time there was an ALCS without the Astros in it was back in 2016. It was Cleveland against Toronto. It's been an incredible run, the 0-1. And this should end the run. And that'll do it. The Motel Magic continues. The Tigers sweep the Astros 5-2, and they will move to the American League Division Series.
All right, there it is. History in some ways. A historic run over. There will not be an ALCS in Houston this year. It was a rough one yesterday. Looked like they might pull it out, and then the bullpen unraveled. All the things that did the Astros wrong in the 7-19 start kind of did them dirty yesterday. And the season, feels weird to say this, on October 3rd.
What's going on?
The season's over.
Wait, how?
Have you heard the bad news?
No, that's not how it works.
The season
is over. Isn't there like a consolation round or something?
I thought with the new format. There's no bronze medals.
It was hard enough getting used to this three-game series format. Now the Astros have lowered themselves into these depths, and now you're telling me that there's no consolation round?
Soulless voids of afternoons coming up for us here over the next 3 weeks.
I felt so weird and agitated the last 12 hours.
That's good. Your team just got knocked out. You should feel agitated.
Yeah, but I don't know. I can't figure out if I'm angry or depressed or upset or whatever it might be. It just doesn't. It feels. Everything feels off, Sean.
Everything's askew.
Wobbling on the axis.
I got you. And I don't know if what I'm about to say is going to help you at all.
I'm just going to punch you in the face.
I'm just going to tell you how I feel, okay? I'm just going to tell you how I feel about this whole thing. I was angry yesterday as to how it unraveled. At the end of the game, you know, that the bullpen comes in, that Presley so predictably comes in and gives up a run. Like, he's been shaky, by his standards, been shaky over the last couple months of the season. You can go look at it. He's given up runs in a lot of his appearances, many in important spots. So I was not surprised at all as I was following the game on my phone at our company meeting yesterday in the eighth inning.
Part of why I'm agitated.
Yeah, so
turns out these people have real jobs. It's hard to watch a day baseball game.
I really respect those people. I really do.
All your struggles for an afternoon.
But as I was watching Ryan Presley do what he's done too frequently to get paid what he gets paid, and then for Josh Hader, a day after coming in and pitching a superfluous ninth inning in a 3-1 loss, give up the game-winning double, I was angry in that moment, and then I had a chance to reflect on it a little bit. And honestly, this morning, this may sound soft, like, I look back now at these last 7 years with a lot of gratitude. You know, like, the fact that we have had October baseball, like, deep into October.
Yeah.
Like, near Halloween, every year for 7 years. Like, the window is absolutely closing, too, by the way. We'll get to that. The window is 100, especially if Alex Bregman's not coming back. And Kyle Tucker, who stunk again in the postseason, whatever that is, Framber, whatever that is, you know, moving forward, just there aren't as many solutions in the room moving forward as there were in, say, 2019 and 2018. The window's definitely closing. But that's like, as I was reflecting on it last night, as, you know, kind of going through the audio and putting the show together, I'm like, man, that was a hell of a run. Like, you realize how hard it is. The last 2 days made me realize how hard it is to do what the Astros have done for the last 7 years.
I felt like I'd learned an appreciation for how hard it is just in watching World Series losses. That for a team that has won two World Series, you get an appreciation for making it to all these ALCSs, losing World Series, yep. including their best team probably from the regular season losing a World Series. It's how freakishly crazy it is that they were even able to make all those ALCSs. There have been little turns of fate along the way. There have been coin flip moments and what have you. And sometimes it ends ingloriously, Sean. You went through the five stages of grief really fast.
I did.
You skipped over depression.
Well, hang on. Let's go through them here. This is the Kubler-Ross five stages of grief.
Denial. Yes.
I was okay. Yeah. As it was unfolding on my phone, I'm like, this can't be happening.
I never accepted the three-game series. Yeah. I really didn't. I'm just so unaccustomed to this notion of just
denial.
Being out.
I did. Yeah. I'm just letting you know if I went through all
anger.
I definitely anger. Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
Bargaining. I think you're actually still in bargaining. You haven't realized that you're not depressed yet.
I haven't gone through all five. Okay. Yeah, I may still be in bargaining. Like, hey, you know what? It was a good run. I still feel great about this team. Yeah, I may be in bargaining. What are the last two again?
Depression.
Yeah, I definitely haven't been depressed.
You never get depressed, though.
No. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I do.
And then acceptance.
Sometimes finally. I look in the mirror and I'm like, why can't I be more handsome? This is depressing me. And then acceptance. I'm not at acceptance yet.
I got petty as hell immediately after my emotions. My first thought, you know what? I take it back. The Kikuchi trade was stupid. Here we are. We're sitting here and we're just going, okay, great. Got these nice young prospects off out there, you know, spreading their seed elsewhere.
Yeah.
And here we are stuck with a Kikuchi on an expiring contract.
Yeah. Yeah. And he said he wants to come back.
Agency to himself this or whatever Garrett Cole had said.
I'm not going to lie. Like, there's very little organization to how I'm going about this right now in my head. Like, this is just weird to have the Astros. I'm like, that's my overriding emotion, is not anger at the Astros, anger at this guy, anger at that guy. Like, you know, like, I got angry at Presley in the moment. I got angry at Hader in the moment. I was angry at Tucker yesterday. Presley and Tucker, I'm still well far from forgiveness for them, for how, you know, for their role in this whole thing. But my overriding emotion is this is just strange.
It's strange. There is part.
As it's far as, foreign.
I would say some of the anger to me comes back to, all right, this is a team that's supposed to be clutch, the new clutch city, all those things. And yet now I'm looking at guys like Kyle Tucker and Framber Valdez, and they've put me into Harden mode. Like, oh, okay, let's see what they do come playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all right. Just no show in the playoffs, no big deal, I guess.
Yeah.
Just gotta rely on the Mauricio Dubons of the world to get it done.
Well, and that would have been, if the bullpen could have held the lead, that would have been the story. Like, wow, look at what the scrappy bottom part of the order did to get this team back in the game.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and even in these first two games, if the Astros have been able to pull out yesterday, let's go to an alternate universe.
Jason Hayward's line drive is a foot higher.
At the
end of the game.
But like in that game you have Pena, who's not doing much as a hitter, laying down a bunt, and ended up doing it yesterday, tagging up on, like, for 99% of the players in the league, it would be an ill-advised tag up, but he tags up on an Altuve flyout,
mm-hmm.
and makes it over pop up and makes it home. That part of it was fun.
Yes,
that was the scrappy old. I don't want to say underdogs.
Yeah,
you know, the old scrappy Astros.
Yeah, I don't care to break down yesterday's game in excruciating detail, just because what for? It's more about looking ahead with the Astros and the future. And you went on a very famous rant after Carlos Correa left in 2022 about the window.
Oh yeah,
about the window. This is a couple of years ago. We don't have the audio. I'm just bringing it up.
That I don't believe in windows.
Yeah. It was a
window denier.
We played it several times over the, especially once Jeremy Pena established himself as a legitimate MLB shortstop, because that was the whole thing. Like Correa leaving, there were people concerned. Like, okay, this is it. We've had Cole leave, and we've had Springer leave, and now we have Correa leaving. Verlander had not yet come back from Tommy John surgery.
Yeah.
So there was fear of the window, and you correctly pointed out, like, oh, screw the window. You know, like, the window is whatever, and they go on to win the World Series the next year. It's now 2024. It's 3 years later. This is a much different ball club that's had much different win totals than back in 2021 during the regular season. How do you feel now about the window?
The window, you know what it is? The problem with me is I always envision a window either slamming shut or opening wide open, and I think it's murkier than that.
Like halfway.
I think it's a window.
You're just letting a cool breeze in.
This
right
is like
now?
That little triangle window in the car that when you're trying to
kids.
There used to not be. Not everybody had air conditioning back in the days.
I love and our takes where we just the next word is kids.
There used to be. You could tell it was coming. There used to be a little triangle window that would open up a little bit.
Yeah, it wouldn't even roll down. Yeah. It would go sideways,
and you might get a little bit of air through that window. It was just weird.
It sucked.
It was. I don't know why that window existed, but it did.
So that's our window.
That's
now.
The window.
We have
right
a little
now,
triangle window from a 70s station wagon.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yes. Yeah, the window is there, certainly. I think the biggest thing, obviously, is that when Correa left, you had They had Pena. They liked Pena. Pena was known in the organization.
Yeah.
You don't have that situation with a third baseman right now.
No.
And if Alex Bregman is to leave, it's not so simple that that's the replacement. I would say Pena, you know, Pena versus Correa. Like, he wasn't a direct replacement for Correa, obviously.
In what way?
In terms of the quality of player.
Yeah, yeah,
I think
yeah.
You're not going to replace playoff era, World Series era Correa. He hasn't been replaced by Pena in that
regard. Well, I mean, he was great in that postseason, but I get what you're saying. Over the course of 162, and he's not going to probably win another World Series MVP.
Right. So, yeah, it feels like I'm in the triangle window right now.
Okay, okay. Yeah, I feel like a lot of the magic is gone today.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like a lot of that feeling that there was a feeling over the last 7 years that they would just come through
mm-hmm.
at some point. Now, I know they didn't win the World Series every year. I know they didn't win the ALCS every year. But they weren't getting knocked out by a team that snuck into the playoffs at home in the first round, scoring three runs in the process.
What about if you look to examples in other sports, could you look at it as possibly like the Patriots, where they had a window and then the window closed a little bit and then the window opened wide open again?
I guess, you know, what's the equivalent of Tom Brady in baseball? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And is Joe Espada Bill Belichick? I would say no at this point.
Yeah, and there is no real equivalent when you have a quarterback.
I always equated them more to Golden State. Where Golden State had that magical run where they didn't win the title every year, but they were clearly the best team in their sport. Yeah. And then they kind of backslid. And I guess that's the big hope. Now, when Golden State backslid, they backslid into the lottery, the draft, because of injuries to older guys. But they were able to kind of piece it together one more time, you know, get the band all healthy again, and then win it, I believe, in 2022 when they beat the Celtics in the finals. You know, like, I don't think people were anticipating. And maybe that's the Astros' best-case scenario, is that they're able to make some good moves as opposed to the last couple of years where they made some very questionable moves. That would be my big question going into this offseason. We can talk more about this. We're up against it. But like, what is available to the Astros to get them from being an 88-win team that got knocked out in the first round back to where we're used to them being again?
Right, right. Well, and then how do you factor in the first few weeks of the season, which made them an 88-win team? Because they were operating like a 100-win team for the rest of the season after that.
Yeah, was that a crazy outlier? Yeah. Or are we to expect a stretch like that? Are they just not good enough to be a 100-win team again?
The part that wasn't an outlier was the pitching, I think.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest thing. It's not going to be the different. It'll be a different version of the Astros, but we're still in the triangle window.
Triangle window. Man, and I hate the triangle window big time.
Patriots is always a bad comparison anyway because they did go to two Super Bowls during that. It is 10 years.
They still went to two. They were undefeated in a regular season. No, they were really good at football for a long time. Speaking of good at football, Buffalo Bills come to town this week. We'll circle back to the Astros, I promise. At the top of the 7 o'clock hour, we had a segment yesterday. The ramifications, what was at stake yesterday? And we know it knocked the Astros out of the season, but we'll go back and look at the five things that were at stake yesterday. How did that play out? We'll do that at 7 o'clock. We got headlines at 6:45. Up next, C.J. Stroud gives us our first look at the Buffalo Bills this weekend. That is next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, we'll circle back to the Astros. Season is over and getting a lot of texts about that. We'll read your texts. What's the stage when you're ready? We went through the Kubler-Ross five stages of grief in the open. Someone said, what's the stage when you're ready to focus fully on football?
I guess that's acceptance a little bit.
Yeah.
That's the part when you buy a new pet after your old pet died. Where you're like, I don't want to dishonor Fluffy by getting like a beautiful new puppy. Oh my God. I've never felt such joy.
Fluffy who?
forget to mow around Fluffy's little gravestone out in the backyard for 3 years later.
Right,
like, oh yeah, Fluffy's down there, ain't she?
Weeds and weeds. All right, but we will circle back to the Astros in headlines and at the top of the hour. Season is over, but yes, the Bills are coming to town this weekend. So let's dig in on
it's
that.
A good one. You know what? A good one to get your mind right.
Absolutely.
This is Fluffy died, and you just found out about I don't know,
like a Great Dane that's available or something like that.
Yeah. That's an unruly Great Dane.
Yeah.
Because it is. You're excited about it. You're like, I don't know if I can handle this much dog.
I know.
And,
I know. It's Josh Allen. He's a great Dane.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a Great Dane. Here's C.J. Stroud yesterday. The team's approach to prepping for the Buffalo Bills.
You know the answer to that. It's no, I think every team in the NFL is good. So I don't really look at the Bills, like, oh, they're don't get me wrong, they are a great football team. Like, they have done what they've done for a very good reason. Like, Josh, I can go on and on about the Bills. Trust me, they are amazing. But once again, you know, we're football players too. We're dogs just like they are, you know. So it's going to be a great matchup. I feel I definitely got a lot of respect for them. Great defense. McDermott has a great philosophy on how he calls plays. And, you know, they're playing really well together. And then their offense, of course, they're going to score points. Josh Allen is definitely a top premier quarterback in his league. And I'm a big fan of his. Watch his game a lot. So, you know, just a ton of respect for them. But, you know, I don't look at it as, like, up or down. You know exactly what I would say. So, yeah. Not trying to sound arrogant, just being real.
So you know exactly what I would say is we ain't scared of nobody no how. That's what he felt emotionally. He caught himself.
Was the question framed in such a way that the Bills were that the Bills were being put on some sort of pedestal?
The question was along the lines of, you guys haven't faced a test like this, a team that's been thought of as one of the up and coming and dominant teams, something along those
CJ
lines.
With that.
He really built, like, it was almost like the beginning of Star Wars.
Yep.
And the whole time I'm thinking,
there's a 45 degree angle scroll
asking
the question.
Yeah, like the Buffalo Bills, a kind of dominant force over in the almost just there category. I kind of felt like CJ did as the question was being asked, except I was also thinking, they just got the snot beat out of them 2 weeks ago by the Vikings, who are a pretty damn solid team, I think.
Right.
Like, it's not like this is the first test or challenge they faced, but CJ was also trying to walk that line of saying, like, look, we're not going to go intimidated to anybody. You know what my answer would be.
He was saying that last year when they were 1-2 and the Steelers are coming.
Right. Yeah, that is sometimes even the intimidation factor sometimes gets overblown because it's a nice, easy storyline. At the end of the day, you got a bunch of high testosterone, highly motivated alpha males that don't, like, generally get, no matter who you are, no matter which team you are, you don't go into a game thinking like, uh-oh, here we go, this is a real test now.
Well, and most importantly, the talent level on both these teams is very even.
Yeah. Now, I do think, so a lot of it, I think sometimes when we talk about this stuff, it's more from the fan's perspective, and I can tell you 100%, it's a lot harder to be confident as a fan than it is as a player. As a player, you have things that are in your control, you know, and you work and you practice and you've got the right mental mindset. As a fan, I discovered this my first year out of the league. Oh, this sucks.
Yeah.
This is the worst. I hate this. I hate sitting in the stands or sitting in front of my TV with
no control
over it. This is awful.
Yeah.
I don't know how people do it.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Yeah. And it's been nothing but misery for 20 years since. Just sitting out there with no control over this stuff. Even when I've tried and I've been banned from football for a couple of days. Yeah, I've tried. But, it's hard, man. It's really, really hard. But
all
I don't think CJ.
All I can think is you spitting out your kolache 2 weeks ago. Laramie lined up wrong for like the fifth time.
Well, you know what? As a player,
quarterback
throws an interception. You're like, all right, yeah, let's do this.
Yeah.
D'Amico talked about how his approach is to sudden changes.
Yeah.
That he wants the defense to look at it as like, all right, this is an opportunity.
Yes.
Like, all right, here's difficulty. Here's a way to test ourselves. That's awesome. Yeah, as a fan, you don't get to do that. You can't pick that kolache up off the floor and eat it when there's people around.
It's so funny.
I am in the back of the room. Can I salvage this kolache? I better not. There might be cameras.
There were more in the other room. You were fine.
I ate a lot of kolaches that day.
Here was C.J. Stroud. That's what they were there for. Here was C.J. Stroud. More on the Bills. What makes the Bills' defense so good?
Just their ability to bend, not break. You know, like, they don't really give up big plays. They have some guys who play their system very well. I know they're dealing with some injuries. But, you know, Ed Oliver jumps out on film. Vaughn jumps out on film. 50 jumps out on film. Like, the backers play really good in the pass game. I think his name 31, Russell. Great DB. Takes the ball away a lot. Got a lot of respect for him. And then DeMar is playing really good ball as well. So got some key components on that side and definitely got some playmakers. So, you know, got to be able to take care of the ball and, you know, be able to, you know, just move the ball and score points.
It's a very different looking Bills defense in the last few years.
It is very, and they're banged up right now. And Von Miller is suspended. At this point, I like that, I think some of that was more based on CJ just having watched a bunch of film.
Yeah.
More so than worrying about, like, actually looking at the injury report or anything like that.
Or push notifications on his phone about Von Miller getting suspended.
Oh, yeah, he's not on his phone. Yeah. Right? Yeah, he's not seeing the push notifications.
That's it, man.
He doesn't have Bleacher Report all hooked up or something. Or better yet, Odyssey.
Yeah.
So, yes.
I'm sure we push something out on
that. Yes, we've got something that does something like that.
Yeah.
So, this is the thing about the Bills. Bend, don't break. It gets a bad label, but I think both the Texans and the Bills and that they share some philosophies. Ideally, they want a team that can rush the passer. You play zone behind it and play it really aggressively. Force turnovers. Don't allow explosives. And that came up multiple times yesterday from both D'Amico and CJ. Heard it from Caserio on his GM show. This is a team in the Bills that doesn't let up explosives. So a lot of what you've been seeing from teams is they specifically try to game plan for these three explosive wide receivers on the field. The Bills are going to do it, but it's not like it's a departure from their normal operating procedure.
Yep.
So a lot of what CJ was able to show on that final drive where the ball never touched the ground, you know, it was a very efficient drive versus the Jaguars at the end of the game. And by that point, it's everything that you want to see out of a quarterback, like over the course of a game, figure out what's working, what's not working, how can we do this? Bobby Slowick included in all of this, and then surgically pick a team apart. It's going to be, it has to be that kind of surgical precision versus the Bills.
Yeah.
They're gonna make you earn it, and you're probably not going to get more than a couple of good deep shots downfield. I feel better about it right now than I did perhaps a couple weeks ago. So that's the chess match between Bobby Slowick and the Bills defense is going to be all of that. All the cliches. Take what the defense gives you.
Yeah.
Don't go broke taking a profit. But at times, you can engineer some of those deep shots down the field.
Yep.
It's kind of nice if you can run the ball.
That would help. We should mention, and we'll mention it again in headlines, Joe Mixon and Damian Pierce not practicing yesterday. Although there seems to be some optimism surrounding Mixon based on the fact that he practiced on Friday.
Yeah.
It's not abnormal for a guy who's dealing with an injury.
Running back, especially to not practice
with an
on
ankle.
A Wednesday. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm still optimistic about Mixon based on him practicing last week. Laramie did not practice yesterday. We should point that out.
Laramie, the one thing, it was hard with Laramie's holdings. I think both of them were after he turned his ankle.
They definitely were. They were in the second half. Yeah.
Yeah. And that was the part, it's hard with Laramie right now because you don't want to cut him a break. I'm the leader of the band and not cutting him a break for his penalties because he's got so many different excuses for his penalties. But in that game, it did look like he was hobbled, and the holds I don't think would have happened if he was healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the old advice I got my rookie year from old John Yurkovich was if you want to be a really good player in the NFL, you got to play as well when you're injured as when you're 100% healthy.
Absolutely.
So I don't cut him a complete excuse, but hopefully if his ankle's all right, he'll be good.
Yeah.
As far as Mixon and what he can provide, you go back to that Colts game, and the blocking wasn't perfect. I thought it was vastly improved over what we'd seen in previous years in the run blocking.
Mm-hmm.
But Mixon made the offensive line right a lot of times. You go through Cam Akers' plays from last week, and there's not one name that consistently pops out when you look at who got screwed up. But on any given play,
on the O-line,
yeah. On any given play, there was a blocker screwing up.
Mm-hmm.
Titus got his butt kicked once. Kenyon and Juice both had a bad snap. Cam made a couple of sketchy reads, I think, where he could have made done a better job of it. Shaq had a rough down. Blake Fisher had a rough down. You know, Kenyon shows up again. British Brooks whiffed on a toss. Like so it's a hodgepodge, and kind of what Slowick had said a couple weeks ago when he said, I could count on one hand the number of times that everybody was doing the right thing.
Yeah.
It's that. It's they're so close, but they're so far away. The one thing about Mixon is that he can cover up a lot of those just because
that's what I was
going
to ask
back.
You. Yeah. Like, it sounds to me like what you're saying is that those list of mistakes that you read.
Yeah.
They could make the same mistakes this weekend against the Bills, but Mixon might run for 102 yards on 19 carries.
Yeah. And if anything, I'd rather have them like just go ahead and all screw up on one play. Mm-hmm. You're going to tackle for a loss, and then all do well the rest of the time. It's every single play somebody's screwing up.
Yep.
That's the part, and that boils back to coaching. You know.
Yep. For sure.
Kenyon's the guy that I'm most that still is showing his youth right now the most. Shaq was. A lot of these offensive linemen look like they're playing their way into shape.
Yeah, it's preseason.
Yeah. We're in week five of the NFL season, and yeah, these guys are looking like they're playing themselves into shape.
Dude, that might be the, like, I thought about that the other day, because it seems like that's the general excuse that's getting made for the league as a whole looking a little bit down offensively. Damn, man, the cheat code to get to a one seed might be to actually treat the preseason like people used to treat the preseason and not work out all your kinks in the first 4 weeks.
These teams are actually, they're basically following the Astros blueprint.
League is 7-19 right now.
It's a 17-game season, so what if we suck the first 3 weeks? I know, man.
Yeah, they all count, man. That's how you wind up in a wild card series. That's why. We're getting a lot of texts.
The O-line propaganda during the preseason was, well, we're not allowed to cut block and stuff, so it's hard. You can't finish people to the ground. Who the hell are you guys finishing to the ground?
This group?
You can't finish to the ground. Because it's preseason. Or it's because you're just not that good.
Right. The only reason I'm okay, this is a text, about the Astros losing, is that Hinch started the run in 2017 and ended it for us. Rather him than the Yankees end it. That's from Cody and Angleton.
Kind of like in a movie where, one of these medieval movies where at least the person who kills you is a person you respect.
This was Star Wars.
I'm glad it was you.
Where Anakin Skywalker, dressed as Darth Vader, sliced Obi-Wan Kenobi in half and said, sorry, you're a Force ghost now.
That doesn't sound as good.
Yeah, well.
So wait, Anakin became...
Anakin became Darth Vader.
Darth Vader,
So Darth Vader killed Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah.
But Darth Vader's a
villain.
Wasn't
there a scene in Game of Thrones where the big woman killed somebody and he was kind of glad that it was her doing it?
Oh, yeah, you may be right about that.
That is one thing I hope. Someday when I die...
You want me to do it?
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Okay.
Oh, I've got to, you know what, I'm going to start naming it. I'm going to put, can't put that on a legal document, but you know, you got your, I don't want to have to be.
Or say it on the radio.
I was in a situation once with an older person in my life where I've struggled with this.
Yeah.
This might be a little too heavy for 6:34 in the morning.
Right.
I think they wanted me to read between the lines.
Oh, really?
At the end of their
life.
They
were like, wink, this sucks.
And I don't, I think I would have been willing to do it if they had been
waving a pillow in front of your face.
Yeah, so I don't want there to be any ambiguity about it, Sean. Yeah,
okay.
If I put you on the list,
yeah,
you got to smother my ass, okay?
10-4.
Yeah.
Got it. All
right, carry around a little cocktail in my, don't worry, nobody will trace it back to you.
Let's get to headlines before I don't have any more plausible deniability.
I got to think, nobody's going to text in about this. I feel like with a lot of euthanasia type situations, there's probably a lot of, in small towns and things, maybe the coroner just kind of be like, yep, natural causes, mm-hmm, here we go.
Yeah.
Oh, God, no. Yeah, somebody put me out of my misery if that's what we get to.
All right, we got a lot of texts coming in from people on the Astros. We'll get to you guys.
Sean's just walking around behind me like a Grim Reaper, waiting for me to get a paper cut. Yeah. Waiting for his chance to kill.
But life just got a whole lot more interesting. All right, let's get to headlines. Astros are done for this season. We'll hear from Joe Espada on that. Start to look ahead now. Is Alex Bregman going to be an Astro long term? That'll be the big question heading into the offseason. We got a full injury report for you from yesterday. Stephon Diggs speaks. We'll hear from Diggs as well in headlines. That's all coming up next.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
Line down the left field line. It is a fair ball. One run scores. Two run score. Everybody scores. It's a bases clearing. They pinch it for Abanez, and it is now 5-2 Detroit.
That was the big hit right there. Abanez with the bases clearing double off of Josh Hader, who came in relief of Ryan Presley because Presley couldn't finish the eighth inning again. And the Astros lose 5-2. Now I am getting a little bit agitated. My emotions are all over the place.
Yeah, you're vacillating.
Today.
You acted like you'd cruised through the five stages of grief, and now you're realizing you're right smack dab in the thick of it.
I'm in three. I'm on bargaining, the third stage for sure. That was the big hit yesterday. 5-2, the final score. The Astros swept from the playoffs in the wild card round. Seth, our worst fears realized. The randomness of a short series, the chances that these could be a couple of games where the bad Astro offense shows up,
mm-hmm,
where they're leaving runners on base. Even when they have opportunities, they had bases loaded, nobody out in the, I believe, seventh inning, and they turned it into two runs. And even then, they had first and third with one out and had taken the lead, and Kyle Tucker hits into an inning-ending double play.
Yeah, Kyle Tucker, and we brought him up earlier in terms of just the guys that, when you're talking about this Astros team this year, where, I mean, they were very clutch in their way to fight back from their horrendous beginning to the season. But when we talk about runners in scoring position, other things that they really need to come through in. I mean, Kyle Tucker, going back to 2022, when he had that really good game versus the Phillies, but since
two home runs.
Since the beginning of 2022, in the last 64 postseason games, this is Kyle Tucker, 167 batting average, 585 OPS.
Wow.
Like, this is, and it, you brought this up during the break. You know, there's a certain way about Kyle Tucker since back when he was the untouchable prospect and the rookie and everything else like that. It was AJ Hinch who had to have a talking to with Kyle Tucker about how he needs to get up to the Astros' way of doing things. He needs to operate more along the lines of these other guys like Altuve, yeah, or Correa or Springer or Bregman, all of that. He hasn't delivered on it in the playoffs in the last few years at all.
You tell me if I'm being unfair, and I think diehard Astro fans are not going to like this. He's got a little Laramie to him. He seems a little kind of
he's got a blasé
aloof
about it.
Oh, yeah, he's got a blasé like, about him.
Does
a
this guy
bit.
Want it as much as others do? He's
I think so.
Freakishly naturally
yes.
talented, and
yes.
yet, what
yeah.
the hell?
Yeah, okay. All-star caliber player. Laramie's a Pro Bowler, so it's not an insult in terms of talent. But as you pointed out, like, this was something that he needed a talking to about early in his career.
Yeah.
And he still kind of carries himself that way. I know everybody loves Kyle Tucker, but he's been abysmal the last two postseasons.
Got very little love in my heart right this moment.
For anybody.
I'm very petty, and there's certain players that I might get upset about that don't deserve it. But with Kyle Tucker, yeah, like, if you're that guy who, aside from just being gone, it's not his fault that he was gone for as long as he was. But this hasn't been a year where it's made me feel like, oh my gosh, they got to extend Kyle Tucker.
Yeah.
If he had shown up in the playoffs, then I might have felt differently. But this has been 3 years now where he's been bad in the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't feel compelled to do the 10-year deal on this particular morning.
If I had to choose between Bregman and Tucker right now, Bregman.
I'm going Bregman for about 6 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. We'll get to Bregman and his future in the 7 o'clock hour for sure. Let's get to these Texans and the injury report from yesterday. Joe Mixon, Dameon Pierce still not practicing, but that's something to keep an eye on over the next couple of days. Laremy Tunsil not practicing, not a big surprise, and I don't say that as shade. He had an ankle injury he sustained in the win over the Jags, so I'm not shocked that Laremy wasn't out there. I would suspect he'll be out there in at least a limited fashion over the next 2 days. Tank Dell and Jimmy Ward both back at practice yesterday.
Yeah.
That's good news.
That's good news. Tank especially.
Tank especially, yep. Kurt Heinisch activated off of injured reserve, so a little depth on the D-line. This was the big one yesterday. Dylan Horton activated yesterday. Dylan Horton, who, of course, beat cancer. And I'll be honest with you, when he was on whatever that list is, they put those guys, you know, he's on a different list.
Non-football injury
yeah. list than the other guys. And when he was on that during camp and coming into the season, I figured this was going to be a David Quesenberry situation maybe where they, you know, he's getting paid to kind of still come back from the injury and we'll see where it goes.
Yeah.
Him being activated onto the active roster is phenomenal
yeah,
news.
Yeah, I thought he would be, maybe there, yeah, whatever the designation would be or what have you, I thought it was going to be more of a slow roll. And you never, like, obviously, when it comes to cancer,
yeah.
it's not a matter of is he tough enough or something. It's
no.
Everybody's individual and you just don't know. And he was stage four.
Stage four.
So that was very nice to see. That was a welcome surprise.
Yeah,
that
I don't even
really
care
cool.
if he's active on game days. I think as a person, I think that he's to the point where the team feels he can be on an active NFL roster is just such great news. Here's D'Amico Ryans yesterday on that Dylan Horton news.
Wow, what an awesome story for Dylan to be back with everything that he's gone through, you know, battling cancer, and to see him back on the field after almost an entire year of missing football. Man, the way he handled it and the mindset at which he handled it, like, it was always still, he attacked it with a smile, he attacked it with a great attitude every single day. You know, everything they went through, I can't say Dylan had a bad day because he never showed it. And that's just just proof to everyone, like, no matter what we're going through, a lot of people out here battling cancer, battling things in life, man, attacking it with the right mindset, a positive attitude really goes a long way, and Dylan represents that, and we're all very thankful and happy to have him back.
Yeah, stage four Hodgkin's lymphoma. Dylan's an interesting one because he had about 150 snaps last year or 2 years ago.
He showed up.
And, right, there were times it was he looked like what he is, which is a guy that was a safety in high school, moved to outside linebacker, then became more of a defensive edge rusher, outside linebacker, and then in his final season became an actual defensive end with his hand in his dirt. Mm-hmm. So he was raw, but he would show up. And it was one of those things where he played sparingly enough that I'm like, who's that guy? Oh, good play, Dylan.
92.
Yeah, so kind of like, he's always felt to me like a bigger version of Charles Omenihu, a guy that can play inside, outside, that you're going to be able to, you're going to have some versatility with him. I think Danico Autry might be a good guy for him to emulate. So there's something there. And we'll get to see how it develops over the course of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. I was when I saw that name on the injury report, or when I saw that name on the press release, you know, about all the different moves they made. Man, that was just so cool to see. Stephon Diggs talked to the media in the locker room yesterday. It's a big weekend for Diggs, man. Got his old team coming to town. It's one of the big storylines heading into the weekend. Here was Diggs talking about maybe some of the things that were said about him from his time in Buffalo.
Obviously, when you go to a new team, this is my third time or second time going to a new team. So, you know, never know what to expect and what kind of guys you'll be around. But obviously, I had a little bit of a rapport with CJ prior to, and it's easy to get a bad rap. You know, world travels fast, but, you know, when you get to a place and people get to know you, they kind of get to gauge you for their own personal and their interaction with you. And things usually turn the corner when I get somewhere else. It's usually be smiles and a lot of positive stuff. So I just take it with a grain of salt. I got big shoulders, I can take.
Yeah, so that was you kind of asked about some of the criticism you got on the way out in Buffalo.
I'll be really, really surprised if there's anything that's genuinely headline worthy. Now, somebody will try to make up a headline that sounds like shade or something, but Diggs has said all the right things when being asked about Buffalo. He had the good quote earlier this season where he said, I'm not going to make myself feel better by talking about an old girlfriend or something. Oh, calling them girls, are you? Yeah, whatever. Yeah, whatever.
So you're going to be the one that makes up that.
No, I'm thinking. I'm trying to think diabolically, like some of these damn aggregator accounts. Oh, Sean, if I could just step over that boundary into unethical aggregating. Yeah,
think of the wealth you would build. Oh, you wouldn't be able to do it.
I don't know if you're going to be my. We were talking earlier about whether I could choose you to be somebody who could be trusted to put me out of my misery.
Yeah.
If I were dying, I want you to be my euthanasia consigliere.
Yeah. I happily volunteered.
You looked confident and everything. Then I go to the bathroom after the segment, and I'm like, oh. I had a booger in my nose, and this guy who claims that he's going to be that he'll be able to do the dirty work of killing me somehow couldn't tell me that I had a booger in my nose.
I didn't see the booger.
All right. I gotta tell
we all had boogers in our nose. You had one that was showing. Is that what you're saying?
Maybe it didn't show. Maybe it didn't emerge.
Okay.
Until
I didn't see it. I didn't see it. We'll go back and look at the footage. Nobody texted about the booger in your
check
nose.
Check the YouTube stream.
Yeah. See what
the
chat. They
put it on the YouTube stream.
See what the chat's saying about the booger in your nose. All right, let's circle back to the Astros in this next segment.
Or even worse, you'd kill me with a booger in my nose.
And then take it.
People would have an open casket funeral with a booger in my nose.
A snug right there. Yes, absolutely. All right, we talked about yesterday, if the Astros lose, what's at stake in Game 2? We're here now. They lost yesterday. The five things that were at stake, were we right about this? We will talk about that. We'll revisit that coming up next.